episode number two. I have a friend of mine, Amy Cosper, who's joining us today. Today, we're talking about starting it already, girl. Women over 40, it's our time. Okay, women, it's our time. Trust me when I say that, although you probably already feel that. But why is it that we stop ourselves from starting up and doing that thing that we've always wanted to do, whether it's a franchise, a new business, a new hobby, taking up a new, whatever it may be? Why do we stop ourselves? Is it ageism? Is it gender bias? Is it lack of support because people say, you can't do that? And maybe in particular, because we're over a certain age, they're saying, why would you want to do that? You're old. You know, that's not a word I like, right? Why do we stop ourselves? Is it family responsibilities, caregiving on other, on either end of the spectrum, or caregiving for yourself? is it confidence issues? You will never call imposter syndrome a syndrome because we're not sick. It's just something that happens. Imposterism is what I like to call it. Or is it financial barriers? What is it that is stopping you from doing that thing that you've wanted to do? Or maybe it's just an idea that's been boiling up and just kind of sitting there on a shelf somewhere and you're just letting the dust collect. No, girl, no. Amy is here to talk to us about that. We're going to dive into why it is we stop ourselves and how it is you could be inspired to move on that thing. These are the factors that stand in our way. And again, we want you to push play. We want you to push play. I'm Barbara Brooks and welcome to The Second Act. I am so happy to have you here. I'm all about hyping women over 40, really hyping women, but particularly women over 40, because we are the ones who are experiencing the most in ageism and the most on our shoulders, mental health, menopause, caregiving, but all the really great things that comes with this time, which far outweighs those things that I just said. I'm the chief inspiration officer, as I like to say, and founder of Second Act Women. It's a community of dynamic, badass women over 40 inside of our Facebook community and really all over all of our platforms. I welcome you. And so let's talk about why it is we stand in our way. You know, gender bias. Society often tells us and holds on to these outdated stereotypes about women and our capabilities, especially as we age. What is that? If anything, we're lifelong learners. If anything, we can't get enough of trying to figure things out or learn new things. As I said a moment ago, we are not tech challenged. As I said in previous episodes, hello, we're analog natives. So there's that. Don't ask me about the fact that I used to love to go to the arcade and play Pac-Man on, you know, the things that we built as Gen Xers and boomers. The lack of support. I mean, women, we do need more resources. It's a fact. And that's why this community and this new podcast is here, is to network. We're all about curating the content and a beautiful community that you can rely on to support you. And let me tell you something, we don't allow trolls. So the minute someone starts trolling someone, we pull them aside, put them in a corner. You know, we put baby in a corner and we send them a soft message inside of our groups because we don't allow that. We have so much going on in our lives that that's the last thing we need is somebody talking about how we shouldn't do this or wear this or, you know, complaining about this, that, and the other. That's not what we are. This is no crabs in a barrel type of community, I'm telling you. And then the family responsibilities, again, is that what is holding you back? The, you know, caregiving isn't easy. I'm a new caregiver. It'll be a year, March 16th, that's Saturday, that my own mother had a stroke and we had to sell our family home of 50 years and move her from Colorado Springs to Denver. That's tough. And I know I'm not alone in that. But also, is it empty nester? Is it, you know, empty nester because you're paying when we're talking about financial responsibilities, you're paying for your kids who are off in college or went off into a vocational school, or maybe they're doing them. They're taking a gap, but you have to pay for something, right? Is it a confidence issue that happens so much. I hear it all the time. I've even experienced imposterism myself, especially when I started my first of three companies. When I started this company, which was my third. How often do you experience the idea, and sometimes it's in us that says, I can't do this. I'm too old. I'm too this. And I almost cursed. F that. That is not how we should roll, because we have so much going on. And let me tell you something, and I will say this in probably every episode, because I want you to recognize the power and the asset that you bring, not only to your community, whatever community that may be. It could be a church community. It could be your community of friends, the community of Second Act Women, but you bring such an asset. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Women 40 to 64 are valued at $15 trillion. $15 trillion. When we talk about the she economy, it is true. It is driven by Gen Xers, millennials, and boomers. I'm telling you, we've got to figure out how to own who we are. And that's what we're doing within this new podcast, Second Act with me. So let's change the narrative and let's talk about just starting that thing. Jen, I'm talking to you and some of the others who said, oh, I've got to listen in today because I've got ideas that I've got to jump on. And I say, jump on them before somebody else does. I know Amy's going to tell you the same thing after working for many, many, many years with startups and small business owners and entrepreneurs. There's a difference between all three, by the way. Amy is here and she is with Bizzy, which is a new digital platform that I've had the honor of sitting in and being interviewed by her. So I thought I would turn the tables and invite her and talk about her career and all. So let's invite Amy Cosper to the stage of Second Act. Hello, Amy. How are you?
Good to see you, Barb.
Oh my gosh, girl. I'm so happy to have you here. First of all, we are in a snowstorm. So those of you that don't live in Colorado, Amy, and you're really probably getting it. If I'm sitting at Colorado and Cherry Creek and I've got a foot, what do you have up in the mountains?
So it's about 2 feet and growing. You know, I mean, I've seen worse, but I'm on Starlink. So the satellite dish, it has a heater, right? So it'll heat and all of this, but the little animals have discovered that it's warm. And so the squirrels go and sit on it. So if I have a lapse in signal, it's the squirrels just putting that out.
Squirrel! That is so funny. I remember we did something a few years back and you had actually, the snow was so bad. You all got snowed in for days upon days, if I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like The Shining up here. And this week it's just me. I'm in a ranch at about 7,500 feet above sea level. And so like, my husband's not here, which is kind of nice, you know, because you can read and do whatever. But I'm not going anywhere for a while. I mean, it's just.
You sure aren't. And by the way, the locks are locking today.
It's very straight, but you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I love it. I love it. I was telling her before we jumped on too, how she's glowy and everything. So Amy, you are now head of content with this new digital. Well, they're not new, but they've sort of created a new model, a new platform, and they're still doing this. Tell us about, before we step back and talk about your career and all of that, your past career and companies, let's talk about Bizzy. Tell us about Bizzy.
Yeah, thank you for that nice introduction. So Bizzy is actually 20 years old, and it is a transactional website for startups, new business owners. It's where you go to file your LLC, right? Transactional. We take your paperwork and file it within your state, right? So that's the transactional part of their business model. Very successful. They brought me in to stand up the media side. So the storytelling platform for entrepreneurs and startups and people who are like, hey, what the freak is an LLC? So I'm the storyteller part of this transactional website that really embraces the idea of creativity and being your own boss and the freedom and the pain that you know about of being an entrepreneur. So that's pretty much, you know, where I am right now in my career.
How long has it taken you all to create this? Because, you know, we are talking about starting that thing. At what point did you meet the people, the humans with Bizzy, or maybe you've known them from your previous career, and then you all obviously got in a room or someone said, you know what? Storytelling is so big these days, especially video storytelling. We have something different we want to do because that's so different. LLCs,
yeah.
Storytelling. How'd that come about?
Yeah, but what's beautiful about this platform, so, you know, it's not a news, you know, breaking news that traditional media is in the tank, right? Because of the business model, there's no revenue, advertising models are disappearing. But what Bizzy brings to this opportunity is they have a built-in audience of millions of entrepreneurs, right? And so we found each other. You know, I didn't see, we happened to find each other at the right time in December, and they were looking for something like, you know this.
Oh, it was just December?
Yeah, it was just in December, and I started in January. So we're moving very quickly, but they were looking for somebody who, you know, is immersed in and deeply believes in entrepreneurial philosophies, right? And I do.
That is you.
Yeah. And it's just so, it's been just this whirlwind, you know, love affair with entrepreneurs, and Bizzy is in a position to really bring to life the stories of entrepreneurs, like we did with your story, the challenges, the pain, you know, the obstacles. And
you did a Barbara Walters on me. I got a little teary eyed.
So that's kind of the genesis of the Bizzy situation. But the beauty of it is that it has given me a platform to do what I love. And so every day, I am in the most fortunate position to wake up every day and get to be surrounded by people like you who are changing the world and who, you know, restore your faith in humanity every single day, whether it's through the pain or the success or just the fire in the belly, you know? So it's, you know, people changing the world and people like you who will not stop, right? You refuse to stop because you believe in what you're doing. And when you surround yourself with people like that, you become a better person. So I consider myself very lucky.
You're very lucky. So you found something, it wasn't long ago. And then you said, you pushed play on this new thing. And I would love to know, I know some of the people that you interviewed, I know that you've released two of the first eight episodes. You had Streeta McClure, who's here in Denver. Yep. And then you had another woman that you two seem to go back like 20 years or something. You all look like you were having a good old time.
Yeah. Ingrid Vandervelt. She's got a project in Austin, where her whole philosophy is empowering 1 billion women. And so she's been doing it. She's scrappy. You know, she works with VCs. But she is like this vision to her is so clear, right? Mm. The need for helping women access funding for startups, helping women believe, helping women just start, right? Taking the first step. So she very much, that podcast very much played into what you and I are talking about today, just helping women.
Well, and when we talk about VCs, gosh, it is, what is the percentage? Is it less than 3% that VCs invest in women owned companies?
It's 2.7 the last time I checked. Like it's not changing, right? There's no movement in that percentage. And so, you know, that's why it's really important. You know, like we can't change VCs, but what we can do is take agency with VCs and take that seat at the table that you and I have been talking about. Don't wait for somebody to invite you, you know, take agency, do it. And so that's why, you know, talking about this thing with women and the gender biases, you know, it's not so much waiting for someone to invite you to the party. It's freaking showing up.
Showing up. You're absolutely right. And funny enough, that's how you and I met. Was showing up. I am like a double entendre in that I literally showed up at an event that you, that the company that you worked for had a conference here in Denver. And it was when you were working for Entrepreneur Magazine and you were editor in chief. And I want to say this was 2011 or 12 or 13 at the max that you all were here. And I'm not sure if you were living in Colorado. You were in LA at the time. Were you living in LA?
Yeah, I was in LA.
Yeah. So then you got at, first of all, as a person who's always thinking about sponsorships and partnerships and collaborations, I went because you all had Microsoft and you had, I don't know if it was Chase, but you had all these major sponsors that I wanted to have access to, that I wanted to do what I did with you, is run up and introduce myself and grab some cards. And that is a part of starting up and showing up, is that you had exited the stage and I caught you when with other people who were also doing the same thing. And I caught you, got your card, just said a quick hello. And then I got home and immediately, and I'm giving this, I'm talking to the women. This is how you need to, don't be shy. Because what I did is I got back and I linked in with you, didn't even expect that the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, a magazine that I'd been reading forever, would even accept, my, I don't know, what do we call it on LinkedIn? My connection. And sure enough, you did. And then oddly enough, I found you on Facebook, and Facebook was only about 4 years old maybe by then. So maybe it was that we were all accepting people at the time. You allowed me to be your friend on Facebook. And then somehow you and I started talking, DMing each other. Yeah. And we have literally been virtual friends because we met live for the first time just less than a month ago.
Yep.
But we had some deep talks that we won't, you know, we'll only share between you and I, but we had some deep talks and sharing. And I felt the sisterhood with you.
Yeah.
There were times that you would catch me doing videos and things, and especially during times where there were serious issues happening in America, and I jump on and, you know, and talk about, we've got to love each other and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I remember, and I will do this. You said that I need to write a book, and it is on my vision board to eventually do that. But you were such a supporter that I just have always appreciated our virtual friendship now, finally having met each other.
Yeah.
Our all around friendship. So
yeah. I remember meeting you, and I, you know, that virtual friendship, there are very few of those that I have, because, you know, I don't know, there was some sort of magic that happened with us, but also you provided me a safe space, right? When, you know, being a woman editor in chief in a niche of publishing that was male dominated, It is so important to, you know, and I don't keep a huge group of people around me, you know, I don't know why that is, but you gave me a safe space and we were able to get each other through some pretty dark times, honestly.
We sure did. We sure did. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. So I thank you for that. And I also feel very honored that you had me as part of your eight first guests for Busy. Let's talk about your time at Entrepreneur Magazine and other positions that you may have held that were male dominated. How did you push through? Because you're a power source anyway. How did you power through? Yeah, without feeling maybe imposter safe space is very important. Somebody just said, yes. Oh, straight tripping Deb. I love that. Straight tripping Deb. That's got to be Deb here. Anyway, yeah. How did you, talking about just starting and doing and pushing play and not letting others hold you back, you had to have gone through some SH. You and I curse, but we're not doing it here. You know, I'm not doing it here.
Yeah. But. Yeah. No, it, you know, honestly, I look back on my time at Entrepreneur and there was a lot of ego involved in it. And so there are some things I did to survive at the top of the masthead that I am not that proud of. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
I hear you.
When you are trying to hold on to this thing that you have worked so hard for, you know, like I wish I had done some things differently, but I learned from them. And, you know, as far as being a woman, I just never thought about it. It never occurred to me. My gender never occurred to me for a second. I went through that on skill and balls, right? Like, it was ballsy what I was doing. I didn't even know at the time, you know, but you look back and you're like, oh my God. But you know what, you learn through these things. And, you know, like that ego part of the early part of your career, it can teach you a lot. And I learned a lot about it. And I created my own karma in some instances, just, you know, through decisions I had to make and me trying to hold on to this thing, right? Yeah. It was a job. Right? It was a title. Like, why is that so important? Why do we let that define us? And I don't have an answer for you. But I did do that. And it was, a lot of mistakes were made.
I have to say, I completely can agree with you. By the way, Straight Trippin' Debs 67, 67 and left the USA to live my life on my terms. She's in Caracas. Wait, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Close enough.
Good for you. I love it. Well, and you know what's funny? You and I can't believe I asked that question, because normally I don't think so. The only thing I think in terms of is age these days. I rarely thought in terms of my race as a Black woman. Yeah. I rarely thought in terms of being a woman. I just wanted to have as Straight Trippin' Deb said, success on my own terms. Yeah. So. And I have to admit, there are some things that I did that some of my bosses, my old bosses from my mall days, were all friends. Like, I'm talking some bosses that were up here, but we were sort of not far away from each other in age, in a sense, with the small developer that I worked for. And I think about some of the things that I did that I know that I shouldn't have done or said or whatever, but we grow from those things.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a matter of, you know, you look back and even if you do cringy things, and we all do, you know, I think if you have that introspection and allow yourself, you know, give yourself permission to look back and go, that was not living my best life, you know,
yeah.
I should have treated somebody this way. I should have, you know, like, I think if we learn from that, it's powerful.
It's powerful. Absolutely. What are some of the other positions that you've had in the past, Amy, besides the magazine and Busy?
Yeah. I mean, I have always been in the business of storytelling and content creation. And so I started my career as a reporter, covering satellite launch vehicles. And I did that because I wanted to travel around the world. So this position as a reporter allowed me to, you know, go to different places around the world. And then I kind of worked myself up the masthead in tech. I was heavy tech reporter, did the, you know, ran Wiesner Financial Media Group, which is a group of financial publications and trade shows or whatever. And then I went to Entrepreneur, and that was really a turning point for me, because that's where I was allowed to, you know, find my calling. And, you know, my calling is not necessarily media. My calling is advancing entrepreneurship and creativity. I was very, very lucky. And even if I was an asshole in my career, I am still grateful to all those people who gave me those opportunities, you know, that was lucky. I just got lucky. So,
yeah, but it's also your talents that got you where you are. I know you would agree with that too, but, and being probably hungry for wanting to do that job and some of the other things. I'm still thinking back at, you know, some of the things that I remember from my career, and these are outside of the workplace, but it was like, you know, when we'd go to a conference and just the heavy drinking. I met my best friend, Tish Glenn, in her hotel room after a conference at Mall of America. But the funny thing is, on the way up to the room, by the way, and my other friend and I had just fallen off of stage, and I was already in a sling from fracturing an elbow from another incident like a month before, and fall off stage. We're going, but we're all not done having a great time, because that's how the conferences for any company think we're back in the 90s. And then we're in the elevator, and here's Tish, and I didn't know her. She was at another, this was a national conference. She was at another property, and she's like, where's the party going? They're like, we're going to some girl's, her name is Tish. We're going to her room. She's like, well, that must be my room. My roommate and I are Tish. And it was her roommate who invited us all up. And oh my Lord. So just my thing sometimes was just the crazy partying that we did back in the day. I wish I could take back some of that. But
well, nothing says party your face off like Mall of America. Like, what is that? Like, who parties at Mall of America, right?
At Mall of America. It was the opening of the mall, too. It's like, okay, then. In Minnesota, of all places. Oh, my Lord. I think I was living in Texas at the time. That's too funny. But when it comes to, you know, doing that thing and pushing play and recognizing the opportunities, what are some of the things that we need to do when those things are sort of either smacking us in the face, or there's an idea that just keeps coming up. You see something, you're like, I know that I have an answer to that. I have a solution. Yeah. I'll do it one day. What do we do? How do we act upon it?
So there are two things at play when that idea starts looping in your head. So there's the tactical things that you should do, like write it down, you know, revisit it. But there's also the emotional things you need to do. Like ideas are a dime a dozen. The hardest thing to do is to pull the trigger on your idea to just start, right? Like any sort of transformation that is ever going to happen in your life, you have to start, right? Whether it's starting an exercise program, starting a business, stopping drinking, right? Like yep. I did. Like yep. all of you, it's that first step. And it is the hardest. The first step is the hardest step you have to take when you are making a lifestyle change, a business change, which is actually a lifestyle change too. Like any of those formative moments in your life, the hardest thing is the first step. I mean, am I wrong?
You are so correct. And it's so crazy because once you take that step forward, then you sort of, sometimes you think, why didn't I do this before? Right. This was, sometimes it's like, oh my God, that was easier than I thought. Yeah. Or you think, you know, there's just all these things that happens and you're just, but you're right. Why? And it's a matter of, and I like that you just said this, the hardest thing is it's making a life change. It's the hardest thing is taking that one first step. So it's not just saying yes, it's doing it.
And it requires commitment, right? So if you take a first step, you got to take a next step. You got to take it. And so sometimes, you know, it's a fear of commitment. It's a fear of failure, right? Like if I join this gym and I don't want to go, like, I am just here to say, like, I believe in the idea of just starting. You know what? You might fall on your face. You might. A lot of people do. So what? Stand up, dust off, take the next step, right? Like, do not be afraid of failure. Do not let it define you, because it'll cripple you. Failure is crippling.
Yes. And you know, I would love for those that are watching and those that watch the re-record, ping me or DM me and tell me. I'm going to challenge people that if you're hearing this, what is that thing that you've wanted to do, whether it's health and wellness, as you said, starting a company, just doing that hobby, going skiing, you know, whatever it may be. Yeah. I'm challenging people, and I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to challenge you. Get an accountability partner if that's what you need to take that first step, but I'm going to challenge you to do it. And I want you to DM me whatever it is, or if you're in the Facebook group, put it in there, put it out in the universe that you're doing it. Because the minute you do that, right, Amy, then it's sort of like, oh, snap, I got to do it now. Sometimes when you even just say that you're going to do, and you know what's funny, Amy? this is what happened with Second Act Women and why I didn't start this company for so long. Now it's been 6 years is as Lupe, my old business partner would say, I sat on the idea of creating a company for women, didn't know what it was going to be, didn't know at all what it was going to be. Bought up all the URLs for womensbusinessweek.com because I wanted to do some sort of entrepreneurial / career event for women that may be like Denver Startup Week or maybe like South by Southwest on a very small scale. Bought up all the URLs. And next thing you know, because I couldn't get hired, I had that idea. I took it off the shelf. I dusted it off and I just went for it. And 6 years later, the amazing amount of collaborations that have happened with some of the women within this company and the joy that it's brought me. Cause as you said, it's not easy having a company and you know that from my, you know, DMing you, but it's pushing play podcast, this podcast, I've been wanting to do this forever. And I just finally said, what is holding me back? And a lot of times people, and I heard this term from one of the YouTubers that I follow, is there's a such thing as a procrastinator learner.
Yeah.
Because you will continue.
Yeah.
Right? You will continue to go down that rabbit hole and learn until you have it perfected in your head. And then what? Then you go to learn some more. You're holding yourself back.
Right.
A lot of ADHD people, this is the person that I watch on YouTube, I guess do this, is they're procrastinator learners.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you just do it.
And that's all right. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody has their own path. What I will say about the whole just start thing, you know, since we're on that, is that you are solely responsible for just starting. It is nobody else's job around you to nudge you. It is you. The just start. You are in charge of your destiny, right? Don't wait for, you know, a support system. If you believe in something, do it. If it's going to make you, you know, this your journey on this planet, you know, more fulfilled, just take the step. Whatever it is, you know,
whatever it is.
Right? Like go ski in my yard, you know, whatever, right?
We have one life. Now let's really think about that, because in the past, I think we all, until we started hitting, for a lot of us, until we started hitting our 50s, do we look at life differently? But I want people to really think about what that means, that you have one life. How are you going to live it? And I see Straight Trippin' Dead says she's been wanting to write a podcast forever and a podcast. And then someone from Facebook says modern dance. Do it, ladies. We will hold you accountable if that's what you need. Do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She and hey, Straight Trippin', call me.
And she means it. She means it, because at 67, girl, you still have a lot of leeway.
I don't even want to hear the numbers, you know, like people are the thing about what we do, Barb, and we're so lucky, is that people are cool, right? People are so cool. And, you know, this group that you have built, you know, is really giving a platform for people to experience their full potential coolness, right? Like, be as cool as you want to be. Go do something that you like today. Do something small, right? But just start. Get practiced at just starting.
And for Deb, is just starting. Deb, just writing down some of the things you want in the book.
Yeah,
it's just that simple. Just getting a piece of paper out and writing on there. Don't even make it look pretty. Just write down some of the things that you want to modern dance. If you've never done it before, maybe you have, you're going to be, when we're done with this podcast, I'm going to challenge you to go ahead and make that call and book an appointment or book your first class.
Or, you know what? Go on YouTube and take a modern dance class right there. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just everything. We have access to so much, you know, so it makes it starting things even easier, you know.
Easier. Just do the modern dance right here in your, you know, in your space. Yeah. I love it. Well, and so let me ask you this. A lot of people, as you said, are fearful of failure. You know, those two, the F words. What are you not fearful of in life, in this time in life?
I am truly, honestly, not fearful of aging and getting older. And the reason for that, you know, I don't like, you know, like, but I really have grown to appreciate who I am. And that's something that only comes with wisdom and experience. Like, I've gotten more comfortable in my skin. I don't need to claw my way to the top of a masthead anymore. Like, I have made mistakes, but I respect what I've done in my life. And so I am not afraid of aging.
I love that you said that, because one of the things that I wanted that was posted inside of the Facebook community today was from Jen, one of our insider members. And it was Paulina Porizkova, that we all remember, the supermodel from our days. She has now been recognized as USA Today's top 25 women of the year. And I want to play this because she's a champion of aging. And I'm with you. And here's the thing that I want people to always know. I don't like the term anti-aging. However, whatever you want to do to your face, your body, I don't give a care. If it makes you feel better, do it. It's the term, because what we have to do is understand that Amy and I and you have just aged 36 minutes. So you just got to own that we're aging. So yeah. I want to bring this up, and I want to play this. I thought this was a really fascinating. And so here we go.
For me, modeling now at the age of 58 is such a different story than it was when I was, 20.
Paulina Porizkova has been modeling globally since she was a teenager, but she says it's the hardships, not just the magazine covers, that have made her who she is.
My proudest moment, you're actually sort of meeting me in my proudest moment, which is having arrived at where I am after having gone through some catastrophic changes and some dark times, and rebuilt myself.
Porizkova's husband, rock singer Rick Ocasek, died in 2019. The couple was in the middle of a divorce at the time. Porizkova says she had no money and eventually had to sell her home.
There were moments where I toyed with the idea that not waking up the next morning would be preferable. Those were not happy moments, clearly. I think I navigated that by looking for little sparks of light that would mean hope, that there is light and that there's something to swim towards.
Now the 58-year-old wants to be a beacon for people her age, who she says are gaining the most valuable tools in life, wisdom and experience.
What I'm trying to do is sort of represent that bare spot of women that are aging. You know, they're not quite one thing or another, but are aging. And if I could inspire women to sort of accept that we all age, and that aging brings along with it a different kind of beauty. It's a different stage of life. And to me, it has been by far the most rewarding stage of my life. And so I find it so exciting to share that part.
Wow. I love that, right?
Yeah.
Just accept it. Just accept it. You can't reverse it. So we can't Benjamin Button it.
No. And we shouldn't even try. I mean, I think that, this the whole conversation about aging is very important. And it's one that should be happening outside of the bubble of second act women. You know what I mean? Because I the peace that you can find when you allow yourself to be exactly who you are, unapologetic, right? Like, unapologetically who you are, is a gift, and it will only help you do better things and more mindful things and find peace, you know?
I absolutely agree. And you know what's funny? I thought you were going to say authentically you.
Authentic.
We were talking about that word, how everybody uses that. It's coach speak. I mean, I get it, but it's very coach speak. Yeah. Well, I want to just ask just a few more questions.
Yeah.
One of the things that you had said was storytelling is your greatest asset. And let's bring this back to what I want to say is this is also powerful because of this time in our lives, that the stories that we have gathered over the course of time, this the bank of experiences builds onto this storytelling. So how do you, what does that mean to, yeah, let's assume we don't understand what storytelling is our greatest asset?
Yeah, so storytelling, so if you look at it sort of in a, you know, a macro, everything you do in life starts with story, right? Your story, whether it's building a brand, building a company, building yourself, your story is your greatest asset. So whether you're, and Barb, you know this, like you're going out to raise funds or you're you have to have your story, right? Your story is everything, you know, whether it's in relationships, personal relationships, relationships in business, whatever it is. And so, you know, I mean, storytelling is also becoming a bit of a, you know, dead horse that people talk about. But I really do deeply believe that, you know, even what we're talking about today is storytelling, right? We're sharing our stories, we're sharing our experiences. And through shared experiences and stories, that's how we, you know, we learn how to move forward, how to just start, how to be better, how to challenge ourselves. And it's a community thing. You know, storytelling is the basis of communities. And we as humans, it is a unique quality that we have, is this tradition of stories and experiences. And that's what makes us who we are. And the ability to share them is what will lift others up. It's how politics work. It's how, you know, the storytelling is everything. And it's so cool what's happening on social media, like how, you know, these little TikTok videos, people, you can see the human capacity for storytelling in 40 seconds. You know, like it's every TikTok video, it's a story arc. And it's a beautiful example of how we as humans crave stories. Right? That's why people fall into the TikTok rabbit hole. We're looking for stories that make us laugh or make us cry or teach us or inspire us. And so, you know, the storytelling is at the root of all of those things.
It's interesting you should use TikTok as an example, because had you heard about that woman who had the 50 episode 10 minute bits about why the F did I marry this man?
No.
It was episodic. It was such, she has been viewed by, it's totally ridiculous, like 100 million views. She was on GMA just last week. And it was just one story. I'm in some other Facebook communities that talk about reality TV and stuff. And somebody was, you know, many people were talking about, have you gone down the rabbit hole? It's, you know, and people have spent a whole weekend going through this woman's story. It's like a Dear John, or that story about the John, the guy who was lied basically about everything, and he married this woman and she, anyway, it was, you're right about the storytelling.
Yeah. And we want it, that we're addicted to the story part of a Netflix series, of a TikTok series. Like we want to know what happens. And we, all of us within ourselves have stories like that to tell. And so, you know, that's why it's just so important, the whole topic of storytelling in business and in life, you know.
In business and in life. And when she says business, she means career and ownership. What would you tell Julie Schaefer? She says, I need to start putting myself out there as an Enneagram consultant for startups.
Yeah.
She has 20 years of marketing and she's obsessed with psychology and human behavior.
Yeah.
I guess the tip would be do it. But do you have any more to tell her?
Yeah. I mean, I, first of all, I think you should do it. And I think if fear is holding you back, you need to clear that hurdle sooner rather than later. And I, like, there is this guy on TikTok, not that, you know, I don't like,
who is it?
I can't remember his name. Christian Drapeau. Okay. Christian Drapeau. He is the founder of a supplement company called Stem Regen. It's like stem cells that whatever.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, every day, he's not a media person, but he goes out every day and he gives 30 seconds of advice, right? 30 seconds of, hey, but it's not about his product. It's natural cures for things. So recently he did, hey, if you have gas, sorry, don't mean to bring up gas this early in the morning. If you have gas, go chew some fennel seeds. Who knew, right? And he has 500,000 followers and he's just out there giving. So if you've got, you know,
who knew?
What?
I said, who knew is right. Thank you for that.
He's actually on the podcast in a couple of weeks. But what I'm saying to the Enneagram lady is go out there with little, like, it doesn't cost anything to put yourself out there. You're your only obstacle, right? Sketch out a plan, sketch out your storyboards, right? Find an audience because you got to find your tribe, right? You can't just go out there willy-nilly. You've got to know exactly where you're, what you're targeting, and go tell your story. I think it's a great idea. I don't think there are enough people talking about emotional intelligence out there. So
I agree.
Let's do it. And we'll, like, we will help you stand that up if you are having hesitation. So
I agree. I think EQ is such a big, have you ever heard of positive intelligence? I took this positive into peak. There's a positive intelligence course that is international. And I forgot the name of the gentleman who created this, but yeah, it was very fascinating about, Julie says, thank you, about how the brain works. And so Julie, if you've not heard of positive intelligence, although I'm sure you have, Google it. It's about PQ reps and taking these moments of time during the day when maybe things are going willy-nilly or not, and just taking 3 times a day to just for 2 minutes doing this, just feeling and just literally feeling your fingertips, or looking at that picture on the wall and really looking at that picture on the wall to sort of recalibrate that moment or those feelings that you might be feeling. I want to say thank you. And I do want to ask you, Amy, about what are you reading, listening, or watching? One of those.
Yeah. So I don't watch a lot of TV. It's just a thing. But I'm reading an old, so I don't, for business people, I never recommend reading a lot of business books because it can really mess up your head, right? Because you're like, oh, Malcolm Gladwell this, or, oh, you know, I mean, I have them. I always tell my startups, read Anna Karenina, go read some history, work both sides of your brain, right? Like, you're going to get more out of reading a classic piece of fiction than you are, you know, Entrepreneurs Are Made, Not Born, which is an actual book that I read, and it's not very well written. Do not recommend. Here's a caveat. So I am reading this book that was published in 2001. I think it's called The Management Myth, right? So I just up into everything. It is a business book, but it's written by a guy who majored in philosophy. And the whole premise of this book, and he was a consultant and like all this other BS, but his whole premise is that if we find a way to introduce more humanities, right, like liberal arts thinking into business, into startups, into all of that, the world will be a better place. And it's just this beautiful, brilliant story about how he sold out, right? He sold his soul as a consultant, blah, blah. But over the course of his career, he had these moments of, you know, eureka, where it was like, oh my, you know, liberal, at the end of the day, it's basically a liberal arts education, a humanities-based education will get you more in a successful business than an MBA. And I actually, as a major, like, I was really digging what he was saying. I didn't mean to get so excited about it, but it's really
No, I'm glad you said that. I'm taking notes actually, so I could put it in the show notes. And what kind of a major were you?
I was art history and Italian. What? Random.
Random. Okay, rando. Yeah. Where'd you go to school? I actually don't even know what
University of Colorado Boulder. Yeah, I'm a
Boulder. You went to Boulder.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, girl. See, I'm a Ram. So, uh-oh.
No. Well, I live in Ram country now. So we leveled the
planet. There we go. There we go. No, all of our schools should root for each other. Exactly. No, I can't tell you again how much I appreciate you. Yeah. You've given us some really solid tips. And the biggest one is to just do it. Like the Nike logo and the Nike brand statement, just do it. Stop sitting around and thinking, I want to do this. I should do this. As a lot of the coaches say, stop shooting on yourself and just do it. And it feels so good when you finally can tick that thing off that you've always wanted to do, doesn't it? It just, it's like, oh my gosh. Sometimes you think, why didn't I do it earlier? So, but don't go down that rabbit hole. Just be thankful that you started it. So Deb, Julie, and whoever, unfortunately we can't see who the names are, the Facebook users, I say do it. And I want to say thank you, Amy, for being my second ever morning podcast party host, or guest, I should say. It's been a pleasure. And also, I thank you for your friendship. I genuinely appreciate you as a human being. And where can they catch the next episode of Busy? Because you have some really great people coming up.
Yeah, we do. It's the Get Busy podcast. It's on YouTube and all of the platforms. It's on our website. And I was just going to say, Barbara, like anyone who is in a moment where they feel like they cannot start and they are filled with self-doubt, I truly want you to reach out to me and we're going to figure out a way to push you over that start line. Okay. Like I really mean that. And so if, in the show notes, Barb, just give that my email address or my phone number, because I don't want anyone feeling isolated. You got to start it yourself, but we can rev your engine a little bit, you know?
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. I certainly will. And those of you that are inside the Facebook community, she's also inside of the Facebook community. However, after March, this will only be broadcast on YouTube. So, but you can catch her inside of there. I will put all of your information in the show notes. I want to say I look forward to having all of you all back here next Thursday. And this has been such a pleasure. And I thank everyone for spending their morning with me or whenever you're listening to The Second Act with Barbara Brooks. And join the Facebook community. It's a wonderful place to be. We are there to support you. It's Second Act Women 40, 50 plus. I want you to have a blessed day, everyone. And thank you for joining us today. Bye.
Bye.